Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and I'm thrilled to introduce you to Andrea Nicholson, our guest today. So welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
Lovely. So Andrea, before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Andrea's journey from crime scene investigator to insulin investigator is nothing short of inspiring. Yes. Let me share. So after years of following mainstream health advice and battling various health challenges, she took matters into her own hands. Yes. So armed with her investigative skills and a deep desire for the mental health, she embarked on a journey of the self-discovery and the transformation. Yes, you heard it correct. So as a board certified holistic nutritionist and nutrition therapist master, and also restorative wellness practitioner, she brings a wealth of knowledge and the expertise to the table. So her unique approach focuses mainly on addressing the health challenges like fatty, digestive problems, and the stubborn weight through the nutrition and the lifestyle interventions. Yes, it's a huge lot of things. So we'll definitely hear from her, and through her own experiences and the extensive research, she discovered the critical role of insulin in the overall health. So she helps individuals uncover and address the insulin-related challenges, offering the practical solutions for conditions such as stubborn weight, low energy, hypertension, chronic pain, and a lot of other things. So why to wait? Let's join us as Andrea shares her insights, practical tips, and empowering stories to help you unlock your full health potential and live a vibrant and adventure-filled life. So welcome to the show again, Andrea.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So Andrea, like to start with, if you can share or if you can explain what insulin resistance is, because I believe a lot of the listeners are not fully aware about it and why it's so becoming increasingly prevalent in today's society.
Yeah. So insulin resistance is basically a condition where your body is producing too much insulin and your body has become resistant to the presence of that insulin. So it's both factors. And it does this in a lot of ways, actually. The insulin is released for a variety of reasons. The most famous reason is to manage blood sugars. And so the more often we're spiking our blood sugars with high carbohydrate foods, refined and processed foods, sugary beverages, high stress loads, all of these kinds of things, the more insulin we need to be able to manage those blood sugars. And so if we're doing that frequently, the body is constantly releasing insulin, but at some point your cells become sort of overloaded and they're like, no, I don't want any more sugar. I'm full. And so they stop listening to the presence of insulin. So now you've got really high levels of insulin trying to manage the high blood sugars, but your cells are like, nope, we're full. I can't take any more. And so we end up with these resistance symptoms like weight gain, like an inability to lose weight, like low energy, because your cells are kind of screaming for energy, but they're not listening to the presence of that energy anymore. And so it causes all of these issues. And unfortunately, it's becoming so prevalent because, well, our diets are becoming that prevalent. The processed foods, the high refined sugars, you know, all of these kinds of things have become the way most of us eat every day. And then you add in how often we're eating, and the insulin just never has a chance to come down because we're constantly adding fuel to the fire.
Exactly. So what are some of the common signs or maybe the symptoms of insulin resistance that individuals should be aware of?
Yeah, so there aren't any really like direct, I feel this kind of thing. There aren't really any direct symptoms in that perspective, but there are some signs that we can look for that will tell us that you most likely have this problem. And that would be things like you gain weight really easily. You really struggle to lose weight no matter what you do, no matter how strict you are, no matter how much you exercise, all of those kinds of things. Low energy is a big one. Sleep disturbances can really point to a lot of blood sugar imbalances. Other conditions like PCOS for women, if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, or erectile dysfunction for men, hypertension, a lot of these other conditions are also directly related to insulin resistance. And then, of course, we can also just look at labs, and that will tell us for sure. So we actually look at your blood work, we'll know for sure if you have it. So that's not really a sign or a symptom, but a way that we can definitively know for sure.
Okay. So, I mean, how does the nutrition play a role in development and reversal of the insulin resistance?
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit already about the high refined sugar diet and just high carb diet and frequent eating. All of that are causing high blood sugars. And frequently high blood sugars and kind of chronically high blood sugars. And that's directly causing the body to release more insulin. So that's one of the main drivers. We also have to look at food quality. If we're eating a lot of artificial chemicals, artificial sweeteners, just preservatives, all of the things that we find in these highly refined and processed foods, that's also changing the way your whole body's chemistry operates. Changes the way your cells operate. It changes how well your cell receptors work. It changes how all of your body's hormones and enzymes operate. You might actually not even be getting all of the required nutrients if you're eating a high processed diet. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but even outside of diet, we also have to look at your stress loads. And not just the emotional stressors that we all think of with relationships and financial worries and traffic and deadlines, but we also have to look at chemical stressors. High blood sugar is one. Toxins in our food is one, and in our water and in our air. You know, even things that we just worry about that aren't actually happening to us. The perceived stresses can also be a big factor. Injuries that never fully healed, past traumas, especially from your childhood, all of these things contribute to how your body is operating. And so we really first need to clean up the diet, good quality foods, moderate the, you know, refined and processed foods, get out the simple sugars, really lean into good quality, whole, real foods. And then we have to look at the rest of, you know, our lifestyle and figure out all of those other factors that are contributing to the same condition.
Okay. So are there any specific dietary strategies that you recommend for someone who's looking to reverse this insulin resistance?
Yeah, it's going to vary a little bit by how far down the progression they are. Someone who's maybe in the early stages, who doesn't rise to the level of a full diagnosis of like type 2 diabetes, probably just needs to clean up their diet a little bit and be mindful of those simple sugars, really taking the simple sugars out. Someone who is way down the path and has very serious type 2 diabetes is probably going to need to make more serious dietary changes in order to really make a difference in their body. So carbohydrates are the thing that drive blood sugar the most. So that's going to be the easiest lever to adjust to bring things back in alignment. How low with your carbohydrates you need to go is going to vary by your tolerance, you know, how far down that progression you already are, those kinds of things. So a lot of people find that they reverse it the quickest and the easiest by going incredibly low carb. I mean, there's people that go all the way to zero carb and they're strictly carnivore, eating no plant material at all. Not everybody needs to go that far by any means, but it does work for some people. So some of it depends on your condition. Some of it depends on your preferences. Some of it's just unique to each of us. Some people have better carbohydrate tolerance than others, just like people who have peanut allergies. Not everybody does. Some people do. So we all have this gradient of tolerance as well. So you have to kind of play with it and see really what works for your body. And it will change over time. As you kind of heal and repair and reverse things, you'll probably be able to add some things back in. But if you really want to reverse it, it's best to go stricter at the beginning till you get a handle on it. And then you can probably add some stuff back in.
Understood. So, aside from the diet, what other lifestyle factors can impact the insulin sensitivity and the resistance?
Yeah, really everything else in your life also plays in. So we talked a little bit about the stress loads and all of the different types of stress, but this also comes with sleep. You know, are you getting adequate quality and quantity of sleep? Are you sleeping at the appropriate times of day? Or, you have night shift working and those kinds of things that make it much more difficult for your circadian rhythm to work properly. We have toxins in our air, in our environment, in our food, in our water, in medications and supplements and all the things that we're exposed to that really play in. We have exercise. Are we getting enough exercise? Are we overtraining? Are we not getting any? You know, where are we on that spectrum as well? So we really have to play into all of these things and do our best to, you know, set ourselves up for success and remove things that are causing harm as much as we can. We're never going to live in a completely stress-free, toxin-free world, but to the extent that we do have control, you know, try to get rid of the things that you can and maximize the good things.
So, with this, how does exercise influence the insulin sensitivity? And also at the same time, what kinds of physical activity do you recommend for individuals with the insulin resistance?
Yeah, so exercise is a tremendously beneficial habit to get into. And most of us think it's, you know, if you want to lose a little weight, you got to hit the gym. But that's really not what it's about. Exercise really is not about the weight loss per se. It's great for mental health. It's great for lots of other benefits. So it absolutely is something that you need to do. The benefit when it comes to insulin resistance is that it improves your blood sugar handling and just how your cells respond to all these things. And the main reason being, while you're actively working out, your muscles can soak up a lot of blood sugar without insulin. So it doesn't need insulin to do the job, which means you can lower your insulin need by burning through that sugar really quickly while you're exercising. The second part is, just to survive, your muscles use a lot of energy, even when you're not working out. Just sitting on the couch to survive, your muscles are using a lot of glucose and energy to keep them alive. The more muscle you have, the more glucose you can store. So by that very nature, it's also keeping your blood sugars lower and helping to manage all of those things. So we need less insulin while exercising. And we have a much bigger store for those fuels so that we have them on board when we need them, but they're not affecting our metabolic health in a negative way. They're actually helping your metabolic health. Right. So as far as the types of exercise, I'm a big fan of resistance training because that's what's going to build the muscle. That's what we want, is more muscle mass. Now, this doesn't mean you're going to become a bodybuilder and you're going to, you know, have all this bulk. It doesn't have to go that far, but the more muscle you do have, the more your metabolic health will thank you. And so resistance training is my number one. I think that's what everybody should be doing, not only for insulin resistance, but for bone health and for longevity and strength and vitality and just being able to function without, you know, canes and wheelchairs and all these things, to just maintain your body's physical capabilities. It's tremendous. So I really recommend resistance training, and then also walking. Is just the easiest thing. It's free. It's simple. Everyone can do some level of walking. So I think really do get your steps in.
Wow, lovely. So if we can also share the importance of stress management and sleep quality in relation to the insulin resistance. I know you have already mentioned about this, but if you want to mention something like more detail or something.
Yeah, so stress is a big one that we really need to pay attention to. And the reason being, when we're in stress or even perceiving stress, your body's releasing a different hormone called cortisol and a whole bunch of other stress hormones. But cortisol is the main player here. Cortisol's entire role is to raise your blood sugar to give you rapid energy because it's thinking that you're like fighting a tiger. You need to flee or fight or do something that you need rapid energy for. But that's really not what most of us are facing anymore. We don't have a physical attacker that we need to fight off or run from. We're sitting and stewing in traffic, or we're worried about some, you know, pending deadline or a fight that we just had with our spouse or whatever that is. We don't really need that added blood sugar for energy. But that's a biological function we don't have any control over. So when cortisol is up, your blood sugar's up. And when your blood sugar's up, insulin's going to go up, and it just feeds this whole cycle. But in that battle between cortisol and insulin, cortisol is always going to win. So cortisol raises blood sugar. You release insulin to handle that. You release more cortisol because now you got to bring your blood sugar back up again. And they just keep feeding on each other. So stress is a really big problem. Sleep is vital because not only is that when our body is rejuvenating and repairing tissues and managing, you know, all of the body systems that it needs to run all the time, but it's also a time when we're fasted. We're not eating when we're sleeping, most of us. I mean, there's a few conditions where people get up and eat in the middle of the night or whatever, but for the most part, we're not eating while we're sleeping. So this is a great time for your blood sugars to come down to a normal level, for your insulin to come back down to a normal level. And if you're not getting an adequate chunk of time, you're just not getting the maximum benefit of that. And then when your sleep is disturbed, either because you're working night shifts, so you're sleeping at the wrong times of day, or you're not getting enough sleep, or you're tossing and turning, or you're just not getting great quality sleep, that adds stress. It's adding stress to your system. We need that good quality sleep for all of those benefits we just talked about. So that becomes a stressor, which then changes your appetite, makes you want to eat more, changes how you think about food. You just kind of give up caring and you're more likely to eat junk food. You're more likely to be snacky and have cravings and all of these things that then just propagates the problem. So it really is vital that we get good quality sleep, and to the extent that we can, get it during the hours we should be sleeping, which is during darkness.
Got it. That's true. So, I mean, are there any supplements or herbs that may support insulin sensitivity?
There are some, and they can be very helpful, but they're really most beneficial in addition to quality nutrition, exercise, lifestyle, all the other things we've already talked about. You can't just take the supplements and hope that it'll fix everything and keep all of the rest of those things out of alignment. So that's the first thing, is they are really meant to supplement the process, not be magic pills. So there are a few things, like berberine is a great option for a lot of people. Myo-inositol is another really good one. L-carnitine can really help for a lot of people. And even just the basics like vitamin D and the B vitamins, and, you know, just having adequate nutrition across the board. Omega-3 fatty acids are great. The fish oils, all of those kinds of things are all great things. So it depends a little bit on your condition. You know, do you have nutrient deficiencies that need to be repaired? Do you have underlying inflammation that you need to work on? Or is it really just about the blood sugar? So it varies a lot by the specific condition that you're in, which supplements might be beneficial for you. But there are some that can be really helpful in bringing down those blood sugars and improving insulin sensitivity.
Okay, got it. So before we wrap up, like, what are some of the practical tips or actionable steps that individuals can implement starting today to begin reversing the insulin resistance?
Yeah, I would start with really looking at really detailed information about your food. So read every label, not just the like calories and fat and protein and all that. That's important information, but also the ingredients. Because the nutrient panel can sometimes throw you off, where things get reported as like no added sugars, but you look at the ingredients and there's sugar in the ingredients. So you really want to be detailed in those things. Try to eliminate as many of the foods that come in bags and boxes and packages, and go back to whole, real, single ingredient foods, meat, eggs, fruits, vegetables, those kinds of things that basically have one ingredient, whatever it is. So as much as we can get back to whole, real food eating, the better off. So I would really take a good hard look at all the things you're eating and drinking and start there. Make some simple changes. You don't have to overhaul everything overnight, but just increase your awareness, pay attention a little bit more, be more selective with the foods you're purchasing. So the next time you go to the grocery store, you know, just up-level your selections a little bit, make a little bit cleaner choices, eliminate one maybe not so great product and switch it out for something better. Just even baby steps can make a big difference. Anything you don't need in your life, you know, do what you can to whittle it down and try to get it back into normal. So I think that's the first stage. Second part is, you know, look at how much activity you're getting. Are you getting any exercise at all? Then do something, go for a walk, especially go for a walk after eating. That is one of the easiest ways to moderate your blood sugars after you've eaten. So right when you finish your meal, just take a 10-minute walk. You know, these are simple things that can be added into everyday life that don't have to be, you know, completely overhauling your life. You don't have to change everything about everything you're doing. Just make some small changes and then some small, you know, additional small changes and just kind of baby step your way. And eventually you'll get to the point where you are doing all the things.
Lovely. That's really great. Great. So thank you so much for joining today. And I definitely want to extend a huge thank you to Andrea for sharing her invaluable insights on reversing the insulin resistance through the nutrition and the lifestyle strategies. And it's really, I would say it's been an eye-opening conversation filled with the practical tips and the actionable advice. So, dear listeners, like if you have found today's episode informative and inspiring, be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more discussions on health, wellness, and living your best life. That's most important. So do not forget to check out Andrea's work and resources to continue your journey towards optimal health. But before we move, I would definitely request Andrea to share, like if someone wants to connect with you, wants to know more about your work, how they will connect.
Yeah, the best place is my website, which is healthylifewithandrea.com. From there, you can find all the things that you might want to know and reach out appropriately.
Lovely. That's great. So I'll put the link in the show notes so that it will be easier for all of you to reach out to her. And remember that your health is your greatest wealth. And by prioritizing the nutrition and lifestyle changes, you can take control of your well-being and unlock a life of vitality and full of happiness. So until next time, stay healthy, stay mindful, and stay tuned for more episodes on Healthy Mind and Healthy Life. Thank you so much.